Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
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 Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
You're having a great Tuesday as we inch towards Thanksgiving on Thursday.
Getting closer.
Sunday night football with the Bears and the Packers.
It is Packer week. That's something I think we forgot to mention yesterday. I think we all knew that these two teams were squaring off at Lambeau on Sunday, but I believe we forgot to mention that it's Packer week.
Well, we mentioned it. I don't know if we really went into detail about it, you know.
Does it matter to people?
Does it matter to people?
Does to me. Does it matter to you?
It's a loaded question you got there, Waddle.
Thank you.
Does it matter? Like, it is so disappointing to me that, and again, I said this to you yesterday. This to me is probably one of my favorite weeks on the calendar. You take weather out of the equation, and because, like, that would be an easy tilt for, you know, the 4th of July, the 3rd and the 4th, the Memorial Day weekend that we always talk about. Take weather out of the equation.
Yeah.
The week of Thanksgiving is usually my favorite because Wednesday when we were all growing up, we were in the bars on Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah. That used to be the my favorite night or one of my favorite nights of the year, and now I look at it as an old man as just another evening for amateurs.
Right, but then Thursday, so then you have the great night in Hell Wednesday or whatever they call it, and then Thursday you get the best holiday because all we do is eat, we give thanks, and we watch football.
And what then,
do
you always say? You
the four Fs, is that what you always say?
Football, family, food.
And fun,
yeah.
The four Fs. And then Friday is usually the day that you get the great deals, and you're usually off of work, too. So then you get a party, you get a feast, and then you get a bunch of sales and shopping and a day off on Friday, and you're in the midst of a four-day weekend. So I just think you string all these days together, and it's the best.
Best holiday of all.
It's probably the best week on the calendar.
Okay.
When you take weather out of the equation.
I think you can sell me on it being if not the most fun week of the year, it's in the team photo for sure.
So that being said, so with the best holiday, with the best week on the calendar, like you get into Bears-Packers rivalry, and is it truly a meaningless game for the Bears? You know, like you can't even get to the... You can't even get to the first game of Bears and Packers. We're used to the second game not meaning anything.
Right.
Then you get to the first game, and it doesn't mean anything?
Well, it does mean something. Now, listen, like when everyone was screaming at the top of their lungs Sunday night and yesterday, oh, my God, it was the best bye week of all because the rest of the NFC North all lost. Yeah, that's not an incorrect statement, but, like, choosing to worry about my own team and focus on my own team before I'm worried about what's going on with everybody else. Like, it's not going to matter if they don't fix themselves what the rest of the division does. So, like, that was tempered enthusiasm with regard to what happened on Sunday with the NFC North.
Yeah, it's not like I'm not even doing like NFC North calculations anymore.
Not either. I will say this. I watched last night's game. Envious, but also melancholy because of something I know we have mentioned over and over again. And that's that, look, with just an average offense, we'd be right in the thick of this thing because the NFC's up for grabs this year, brother.
Anything could happen on any given night these days,
like,
in the NFL.
Is anybody, do you think, going to pull away from everybody in the NFC? I don't think so.
They all have major flaws.
The Saints are having to play Taysom Hill, who was very good or very acceptable against the Falcons this weekend. But Drew Brees isn't coming back for in any short time.
And even when they did have him, they were a beatable team.
Right. Tom Brady.
Week to week.
the coach is talking about he's the problem, which I think is funny, and I appreciate the honesty because he was bad last night in a lot of situations. Like, who else? The Seahawks don't play defense. They can put a 50-burger on you, but you could put a 49-burger on them.
Right. Or a 51-burger.
Or a 51-burger on them. The Rams are really good defensively, and I like what McVay is doing, but Jared Goff would scare the hell out of me if I was a Rams fan.
Just good enough to get you beat.
Yeah. The Cardinals, they're still finding their way. They excite me. They're fun to watch, but, like, you don't look at them and go, can't beat them. Who else is in the West?
That's it. Well, I mean, then you got the 49ers who are all banged up.
Yeah, they're all banged up. You don't worry about anybody in the East.
No, definitely not.
So, I mean, like, this is a year where if you were just middle of the pack offensively, you could be making some noise. You could be hitting your threes.
This is the year that all you needed was average offense.
Yes.
This is it. You didn't need the top five offense. You didn't need the top 10 offense. You just needed stability from that defense with an offense that could put up a 27 on a given game.
Right.
You know, the average 24. And they can score 27. They can run the football. The defense keeps it close. The special teams is pretty good. You solved your kicker issue. If you were competent on offense, we'd be sitting here saying, okay.
That's what I was.
Like, and this is the biggest thing, Waddle. I couldn't even on Sunday, like, tweet out and make fun of Packer fans. Like, that was a heartbreaking loss. The Colts tried to give it to you with the way they ran the last few minutes of regulation. Aaron Rodgers drove the length of the field. They mismanaged the clock, too. They could have won it, but they tied the game in overtime. And then, like, they've got different issues than fumbling the kickoff and then the Colts beating them. And that was, like, going into Packer week, that would have been the perfect way to taunt Packers fans.
Sure.
That look at you guys. You guys are dumb enough. You guys are so dumb. You have Aaron Rodgers, and you don't understand that you need to give him another weapon. You guys don't understand it. You took the draft, and you drafted a quarterback. You took the trade deadline, and you punted.
What were you doing?
And, like, at least we could be in a trash talk fight. But even with all that said, Waddle, on a Sunday, I can't even get on my Twitter machine.
Yeah.
And send something out to Wildy or Brust or, I mean, Brust's a Bears fan. But
you can't get on your Twitter high horse because it's got broken legs.
We can make dentist jokes and stuff like that. We could do the teeth joke. What's the old tooth
joke? Deer stand.
Toothbrush. What was the punchline of that joke?
I'm not sure.
There was something about the how only Packer fans had one tooth or something like that.
Yeah, we're going to mess it up to the point where they're just going to turn it around and make fun of us.
What was the weight joke too? I don't even know if we could get away with saying.
Yeah,
it
I would
days.
Probably say like I'm just going to claim ignorance and I don't remember like, it.
Our favorite segment during Packers week would normally be come up with your best line.
Yeah.
About the Packers.
Yes.
And I even think we used to spin it, say something nice about the Packers. And like, it would just evolve into a bunch of goofing on Wisconsin and goofing on Packers fans. And we could still do that, 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. But
yeah, I've lost my zest for... Now, I still appreciate the... Like, from my old man perspective, like, this was a meaningful rivalry back in the day. I think that since... You know, the last decade plus, I think the Packers look at the Vikings as a bigger rival than the Bears. And it's become, as I've said a million times, such a transient industry with free agency that guys play for both teams sometimes. Guys don't play in the same town all the time, which I think dilutes the rivalry a little bit. But this will always be one of the NFL's best rivalries.
Of course, like when it's the first game of the year and you're looking at it. I mean, think about what it would be if you could go toe-to-toe in the quarterback department. Like, okay, for your Rodgers, we've got this guy.
Well, I always think
about the elevation in the rivalry in modern times that way.
When I see the schedule, the first team I look for isn't the Vikings. It's not the Lions. I'm looking for where the Packers games land, and you can almost try to start to think your way through the season in that manner. Because the Packers are the team you got to beat.
Right.
That's what it is. They are the team to beat. So, like, for the Bears, you should consider this a rivalry for the Packers. Like, I think because of the lack of consistent success here in Chicago, I think that they look at the Vikings as their bigger rival. I may be wrong, but...
We always have the defense to sort of go up against Rodgers and Favre, but that's not the same. You know what I mean? It was a cool rivalry with Urlacher and early in his career with Favre, and then him and Rodgers had a great rapport, and they would go back and forth. But it's just different if you could... If you could fill that quarterback position and you can go toe-to-toe with the bully.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're flawed, just like the rest of the teams, and that's why this sucks. And think about 2010, okay? So we thought in 2010, the 2010 season, when the Bears and Packers meet in the NFC Championship game, that this, the first time in our rivalry, in our lifetime, that these two teams are going at it for the right to go to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And we thought that that was a jumping off point. That now, like, you think the Bears-Packers rivalry is something now? Wait now until, you know, we're playing now for championships. And then what? You know, the Bears have made it to one postseason since that game. Since the game they lost to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. The 2010 season, the only year, again, they went to the postseason was 2018. Jay got hurt in 11. Remember, Jay got hurt with a thumb in 2011.
Yeah.
2012's the year that they got the that they started 7-1 and they finished 10-6 and they missed the postseason. We had a year in there where in 13 under Trestman, where you played the Packers for the division, but Lance Briggs didn't want to pick up the football. You know, what's-his-name couldn't tackle Chris Conte.
Yeah. That game was there for us, too.
Yeah, the next year they're embarrassing us in Lambeau Field. I don't want to depress people, but that, like, it's tough to say, well, what is this? I want to be barking. I want to be talking trash. I want to be making fun of Wisconsin people. But can I?
Not right now, you can't, no.
With my football team?
What are you going to, like, you just
going
laid
back
out.
To Mitch.
Yeah.
Our big talking point this week is, hey, you know who gives us the best chance to win?
It's Mitch.
It's Mitch, the guy whose fifth-year option we haven't picked up, didn't pick up. We benched him for Foles, who now is, like, the worst quarterback in the National Football League.
He's perpetually confused on Sundays.
Let's talk trash about that.
No, I'm not going to talk any trash.
Our head coach has taken – he fired himself as the offensive coordinator. Allen Robinson, our only competent offensive position skill player, wants out.
Stop whispering to me, because you're going to make me sick.
Well, yeah. Does it sound creepy when I do that?
Well, no. I mean, it does. Yes, it does sound creepy, but it's just like, it's like a bad dream. Like, you're reading me a bad, you know, a nightmarish book before I go to sleep. No one. Yeah, it's not good. Like, and again, I'm thinking less about the Packers and more about watching that game last night going, if we just had a middle-of-the-pack offense, just middle-of-the-pack. Instead of we're one click ahead of the Jets, that's who we are. But I'm reading more and more about some emphasis on running the football coming from Hallis Hall, which is leading me more and more to the conclusion that number 10 could be back under center on Sunday night at Lambeau.
All right, let's take some calls at 312-332-3776. Are you excited for this game? Simple question. It's one of the best weeks on the calendar. I mean, it's Bears-Packers. We're supposed to be excited. But again, it's so depressing, the state that the Bears are in. And does this game even mean anything?
By the way, the Packers lost a heartbreaker, as you described earlier, which just means they're going to be pissed and focused on Sunday night.
But there are flaws. They are flawed.
Of course they are.
They have this one great offensive player with Rodgers, and that's Adams. And they didn't do anything to help Rodgers. Like, there are so many things we can make fun of the Packers for, but we can't because of the state of our football.
We don't have if we do that, we don't have a mirror in our house.
332-3776. Load up your phone calls. You want to make fun of Packer fans anyway? Be our guest. We have Jason Hayward today at 3 o'clock. We'll talk to Rob Domofsky and Dan Weider about Bears and Packers.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So I pulled the question. It's the longstanding. I remember covering this, and after Ditka, when Wani took over, Wani would downplay the Bears-Packers rivalry. The fans didn't like it. Oh, just another game. We take all the games seriously. We can't prop this one up.
Part of the reason why the rivalry was what it was the coaches didn't like each other back in the olden days as well.
Yeah, and football
and it was
different.
Not a transient business. You played for one team or the other.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it was different. I get it, but...
So yeah. I mean, that's basically what Matt LaFleur said today.
Yeah, and I'm good with it. I'm like, it's very, 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 very important to me. I wish we had a better counterpunch to Favre and Rodgers. Like, I think there's a better rivalry between the Bears offense and the Bears defense. Like, that's the longest standing rivalry for the Bears, is the defense fighting with the offense because you guys, Waddle, on offense,
sucks.
Can't pull your weight.
Yeah, that's right. Guilty.
That's the better rivalry.
Guilty.
The defense is constantly, you know, having to prop up the offense. And these two, it's... Ugh.
Sucks to be a fan, right?
Yeah. My buddy texted me yesterday, who lives in Seattle, Gary, who huge Bears fan, and he said that I need couch time. I need therapy when it comes to the Bears. I am, like, again, I am not at the point where I'm, like, just not caring. I am I'm still angry about all this. I'm still down about all this. This is, like you said, Waddle, it's ripe. The league is ripe. The Packers are ripe. There's no better time in the NFC to be good. Not even, you don't have to be great to maybe get to the Super Bowl this year.
Can I give you a little, I'm going to give you some numbers right now that are going to make your head pop and it's going to make you even angrier.
Oh, great.
I mentioned to you, and this is like because for, I think you have been over the course of the last couple of months, what has bothered you most is the lack of success from the general manager's position, more than anything.
Right. It's the big picture.
Correct.
It's not necessarily what happens in this game against the Titans.
Right.
But it's just this big picture that they continue to give
us. So one of my good friends, who is a good football guy, gave me a little insight or a little tease to some statistical information that would serve as the basis for your frustration and everybody else's. He alerted me to the fact, he said, go back and look since 2013, how many picks the Bears have had in rounds 1, 2, and 3. And I believe he said to me, and this would have to be factually checked, and you have a stats guy, right? You can ask your guy, stats guy, if this is correct.
You have a stats guy. Right, ESPN, Jacob Nitzberg.
But I went back and looked at this. Since 2013, I believe there have been 19 selections in the first three rounds, collectively.
For the Bears?
For the Bears, which speaks to where, like, I mean, this year, obviously, we didn't have a one. Last year, we didn't have a one or a two, right, in 2019. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In 2018, we didn't have a three. 2017, we didn't have a three. In 16, we had a 1, 2, and 3. In 15, we had a 1, 2, and 3. Same for 2014. In 2013, we had a 1 and a 2, but we didn't have a 3. Of those drafts, going back to 2013, of the 19 players that were drafted in the first, second, or third round, how many of them would you guess are on the roster currently?
Oh, we did this. How many since 2013?
Yes.
That in rounds picked... 1, 2, or 3?
Yes.
2?
No. You're going back to 2013.
Okay.
It's not that bad.
Well, I know Mitch is on the roster.
Right.
I'm trying to think of other ones. Roquan's on the roster. And then I think besides that, you know, Kevin White obviously was his first. You know, Long's not, the Kyle's not there anymore.
There's nine.
Nine?
Nine players.
Nine out of how many?
Out of 19. But you go back to 2013, and they've only had 19 picks in the first three rounds. And of those 19 picks, only nine of them are left. Obviously, Cole Kmet, Jalen Johnson is here, David Montgomery, Roquan Smith, James Daniels, Anthony Miller, Mitch, Cody Whitehair. Remember in 16, it was Leonard Floyd, then Cody Whitehair, then Jonathan Bullard in the third round. In 15, it was Kevin White in the first, Eddie Goldman in the second, Aronis Grassou in the third. In 2014, Kyle Fuller went in the first round, I believe.
Kyle, yeah.
And Ego Ferguson went in the second round, right?
You want to get depressed?
Sutton was, I don't even know where Will is, was your third round pick. And Kyle Long was your first round pick. John Bostic was your second round pick in 2013.
He's cheap shotting people.
John Bostic.
John Bostic, yeah, in Washington. But if you want to really get depressed, Field Yates tweeted out the other day the New Orleans Saints 2017 draft.
Oh, I know.
Draft.
We talked about that the other day, too.
And the 2017 draft will go down in history as the worst for the Bears, maybe in history, because of the colossal mistake with Mitch and trading up. And then following it up with what happened in the second round, then with Shaheen. And, like, who walked out the door a year or two before that in New Orleans? And the New Orleans, why do you think they gave such a great recommendation to the Bears?
Think about this in 2000, and like this past draft. I mean, Cole Kmet may turn into something, but he so far hasn't had an impact, has he? Jalen Johnson's been a good pick. David Montgomery in 2019 in the third round, has he made a huge impact?
We don't know if he's good or bad. But I don't know if Cole Kmet's good or bad.
Right. Roquan Smith in the first round in 2018, fantastic player. James Daniels is a nice, solid player. Anthony Miller, you're still waiting for him to develop. You had Mitch, Shaheen, those were first and second round. In 16, as I said, you had Leonard Floyd, Cody Whitehair, and Jonathan Bullard.
Are you saying that they've had the least amount of picks in the first three rounds since 13?
That's what I've been led to believe.
They've got the least amount of people who have stuck then, too.
That is also what I've been led to believe. But
that's the core of your football team, draft.
Your first three rounds. And you've either traded picks away for other things.
You're always trading up.
But
you
have nine players on your roster that were drafted in the first three rounds of the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Someone said in the Twitch channel yesterday, and they pointed it out when I was saying, like, Ryan Pace got rid of the fourth round pick. Everyone correctly pointed out that was a compensatory pick. True. Doesn't make it less.
No.
Like, it makes it when you finally get that compensatory pick, you finally get it. The Bears haven't gotten one in years. It just burns a hole through your pocket. And you're like, let's give up that for Foles.
Listen, it's nice to have Bilal Nichols in the fifth round. It's nice to have Eddie Jackson in the fourth round.
Yeah.
I get it. Nick Kwiatkowski was a fourth round pick. But the most valuable selections that you make, because they're worth the most when you start the draft process, are your first, second, and thirds. Those have got to be your true cornerstones and the guys that are difference makers.
All right.
So when you go through this process and you identify this over and over again, it's understandable why you find yourself where you do.
Tim in Naperville, you're on ESPN 1000. What's going on, Tim?
Hello. Yeah, the joke was, how do you know toothpaste wasn't invented in Wisconsin? Otherwise, it would be called teeth paste.
No, I don't think that's
right. I
think
it's the other way, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's...
yeah.
No, they only have one tooth.
Right, I got that.
Oh, okay,
I think there's
you're
a
right.
better way yeah. to tell it.
I think it All is, right. did you know that toothpaste was...
Well, I was waiting for such a long time.
Yeah.
Here, I got another joke for you.
Okay.
What does your mother-in-law and a slinky have in common?
I don't know if I want to know this.
They both make you smile when you push them down the stairs.
Oh, what?
That's not nice. You can't do
All right,
that.
One more. I got one more. What's a Yankee? It's like a quickie, but you do it by yourself.
Okay, that one's like... Right. Yeah, that one... I mean... Number two got a laugh out of me. I think
great.
The joke
Open
is...
Open mic day. I'm Waddle and Sylvie.
Wouldn't the joke be, how do you know the toothpaste
it wasn't,
was invented
toothpaste.
In Green Bay? Because anywhere else, it would have been called teeth paste.
Right, yes. Like, why do they call... Right, how do you know that
the toothbrush
was invented in Green Bay?
Because right. anywhere else, it would have been called a teeth brush.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I think that's what
yes,
it's like.
Yes,
listen, I've lost my desire to tell Packer jokes
what
after
I'm saying.
The ass-whipping we've
Today,
taken.
Today's usually the fun day
yeah.
that we could go after. We could do open mic at Waddle and Sylvie, though, today.
Yeah.
Tom in Missouri, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. I was just wanted to pose the question to you. Do you think that winning and salvaging the season would be kind of a bad thing for the Bears in the long run? Because I am at that point now just because this regime has showed that it's incompetent in so many ways. Like, is it just kicking the can down the road and continuing to be bad or continuing to be mediocre, which is like the worst place you could be?
Yeah, I agree. Someone pointed this out to me, my buddy Andrew. There's one 500 team in the league. It's the Bears. There's
I heard you
one.
Say that yesterday. There's
one. The worst spot to be is 8-8 in this league.
Well, you know why we still cling to the what if? What if they can find a way to improve on offense? Because you can win with your defense. Like, if your defense was a mess or more middle of the pack or in the bottom half of the league, I think everyone would give up on all, even if it's fading or a glimmering hope. You'd have given up on that. But because the defense is good and consistently good, you always hold out hope that somehow, some way, they're going to find their way on offense.
The majority of Bears fans say the best rivalry in Chicago sports is not Bears and Packers. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
So I pulled that question, as I mentioned. It's the Toyota Twitter poll. Toyota-thon going on currently at your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Best time of year. Get yourself a brand new Toyota. I polled the question regarding the rivalry. We have ourselves a horse race. I simply said
horse race, right?
Yeah. Said, is Bears-Packers still the best rivalry in Chicago sports? And it is nearly 50-50.
Cubs-Cardinals is better than this right now, isn't it?
I think Cubs-Sox is better than this.
Yeah.
I think when both the Cubs and Sox are good, even though you don't play twice, and it doesn't, I know they play more than twice, but the meaning in the division doesn't mean what the Bears and Packers do, 2 out of the 16 games. I still think, like, the rivalry between the fans is better and it gets more juiced up. 1,800 people have voted, and 49.3% of the people say, yes, it's still the best rivalry in Chicago sports. 50.7% say no. The Bulls don't have a rival anymore. I think what happens in basketball is it all is dependent on who's on the other team.
Right.
When it's LeBron and Dwayne Wade on the Heat, it's a Bulls-Heat rivalry. When you have the Bad Boys in Detroit, it's a Bulls Pistons rivalry.
That's because of the playoffs.
Right.
If the Bulls were in the playoffs, they probably would have a rival. It'd probably be like the Celtics or the Heat or whoever they face in the playoffs.
I mean that it changes yearly. Like, at one time, Bulls-Knicks was great.
Yeah.
Do you say they're both bad, so no one talks about Bulls-Knicks?
Yeah.
Like, it's
that was
dependent.
A great rivalry
it's
back
still,
in the day.
It's either Bulls-Knicks or it's Bulls-Pistons. Those are your two choices.
Boy,
as a Bulls-Pistons.
Bulls-Pistons has not been a rivalry since the mid-2000s.
Oh, yeah.
That's a pillow fight.
I'm sure there's dudes who are Gen Zers who are listening to the show, and they're like, Pistons? Yeah. Why would I care about the Pistons?
Like, Bulls-Pacers at one time when it was Reggie Miller against... Yeah. Michael, that was fantastic. I think it's more dependent on who's good at the time in basketball. Hockey now, like the Hawks used to have Detroit, the Red Wings and Hawks rivalry was as good as any rivalry we've ever had. And then they moved them to different conferences. Now they play each other twice a year.
Right.
And so like those days are sort of gone. And now where we're picking from Bears-Vikings, Bears-Packers, Cubs-Sox.
Cubs-Cardinals.
Cubs-Brewers.
Sox-Twins.
I think there was a couple of years where Cubs-Brewers was hot.
Cubs-Brewers is good.
Yeah.
Cubs-Brewers is probably hotter than Bears-Packers.
Sox-Indians.
Yeah, when they're good, yeah.
Let me throw this out there. I think if you're someone that votes for, like if you say it's Cubs-Sox, that's a cop-out.
Cubs-Sox, because they don't play in the same.
Because it's all about the stakes. And if we go back to the Bulls thought, it's because of the playoffs. So you either need to be playing for a division or you need to be playing constantly in the playoffs to really cement a rivalry.
But
the fans can enjoy it all they want, Sylvie, but it's a soft rivalry compared to the others.
But what's the oldest cliche there is when it comes to rivalry? Throw the records out the window. Cubs Sox always means something to the fans.
Yeah, but it means nothing usually to the season itself.
Which speaks more about the actual rivalry. Right?
I disagree. I think it makes the point that it's not an important rivalry. And I know my take is not going to sit well with a lot of diehard Chicago sports fans, but that's the hard reality.
Like you, I get it that it isn't statistically in the standings doesn't mean anything, but what fuels the rivalry most is the test of time, is the hatred between teams and the fan base, no matter good or bad.
Do I get this right that the Bears have only won 3 games against the Packers since 2013? Like, you guys are talking about
that's
this.
That's a hot streak for the Bears in this rivalry.
That's good, bro.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's probably
true. And they lost in both games in 2012. 2011, loss. Loss. That's another clean sweep.
18, we beat them to clinch the division.
Hey, Waddle,
that's
Waddle,
right.
Go to the decade
Matt
of the
Nagy's
80s.
Won one.
You got to go to the decade of the 80s. And before then, that's when the Bears really had their day.
I can't think of, like, 2010, I'm looking for a season where we swept them. And I'm down to 2009.
Yeah.
I'm down to, 2009's not the case.
Let's what about 10? Did we,
nope.
How'd we, not in the regular season?
Didn't sweep them.
Oh, is that when we let them back into the postseason and they beat us because we didn't play the whole, was that the last game of the year?
I found it. 2007, I believe, is the last year.
Woo!
Where we swept the Packers, if I'm not mistaken. I'm doing this quickly. Obviously, last year we did not sweep them. In 2018, we lost in the opening game of the season. Then we won late in December, middle of December. In 2017, we lost at Green Bay and we lost at home. 2016, we lost at Green Bay and we lost at home. 2015, we lost at Green Bay and we won it. Or we won it, lost at home and won in Green Bay.
Was that the Josh McCown? What year was that? Or was that
2015?
One? Okay, that was probably Cuddy then. That was Cuddy.
That was Cuddy. Yeah.
Because
yeah,
didn't McCown take them in 1 year when his first time that he
what
came back?
What year was that?
Like late. What was the Brett Favre game? Or what was the game where they honored Bart Starrs? They did some sort of a halftime thing.
Bart Starrs.
It was Brett Favre, I believe, and the Bears won that game.
Yeah.
Didn't Brandon Marshall score a touchdown?
That could have been
that
15 game. It could have been.
I think it was a Sunday
nighter. 2013. Monday, November 4th at Green Bay. Joshy threw for 272 yards. Marshall had 107, and Forte ran for 125 as the Bears win 27-20.
What was the Bears' record at that time? They were bad, right?
No, they were like a 500 team that year.
That got them. They came in at 4-3. They were 5-3 after that. Right. But they didn't
that
sweep
was the
that
year, Chris, where they lost that last game of the year to the Packers for the division.
He's got an incredible sports memory. This guy.
Waddle, what do you have for the 40s though? Because I see the Bears winning 16-4-1 in the 40s.
I had to go back to 2007 to find, and quickly.
That's what I'm saying.
A sweep of the Packers. 2007 was the last time I think we swept the Packers.
Here are the last 3 decades. The 90s, the Packers went 13-7. The 2000s, the Packers went 12-8. And the 2010s, the Packers went 17-4.
Like, this is a rivalry because our grandparents thought it was a rivalry.
That's right.
You know, that's why it's still a rivalry. It's unbelievable. Rocky and Valpo, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Rocky?
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing? Gee, you just depressed the heck out of me.
Yeah, I know. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
What is, you guys know what the difference is between a woman from Green Bay and a dairy cow?
I ain't going there.
Are you going to
the flannel shirt?
That was good. That was very good. See, that's all we got.
You're right. That's all we got. We
got
inappropriate jokes.
We're the kid on the playground who's just doing a little bit of barking, a little bit of talking smack. When they chase us, we're either getting our ass kicked or we're running away.
Oh, we're not fast enough to get away from them.
We're like the kid on Carmen's porch.
Yeah. Like the Packers bring us back to our moms crying.
Do you guys get an age on that kid? last night?
No, I didn't. I never heard. Did anybody come up with an age for the kid?
Any age?
I have not heard yet. My wife was really peppering me with questions on this topic, too, over dinner. I told her, and she kept asking me questions I did not know. How old was the kid? I said, we reached out. We did not get an answer from Carmen. How did Karen know who the mom was? How did you identify? I don't know that. Not my story. I'm just relaying Carmen's story.
His house was good last night, though. No,
I have not heard anything.
No, we had a side. There was a side text chat. I won't name names of people from the radio station who was thinking about going over there to TP his house.
Were they out today?
Wow.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
I know who it is. Yeah.
And yes, they may live in close proximity to Carm. But they were worried the reason why that wasn't done was because they thought that Carmen was on high alert and they could get ball batted or something like that.
Well, I know the one person here at the station that lives in close proximity, but he's not allowed to go out. So he wouldn't do it.
312-332-3776. If you could talk some smack to Packers fans, and it has nothing to do with football. We've got two good ones so far. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6.
You're talking about the one with the mother-in-law and a slinky?
That wasn't good.
That wasn't even a Packer Joe. It was just a mother-in-law joke.
That's a guy that's happy that no one's coming over for Thanksgiving this year.
I love my mother-in-law. I would never tell that joke.
Our top 20 Bears list, the latest from there, and your chance to win from Great Clips. And one of our favorite interviews that we put on this radio station, Jason Hayward. We'll talk about these Cubs changes coming up at 3.
This hour brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. Test drive the 2020 Acura MDX and the all-new 2021 Acura TLX today. Learn more at ChicagoAcuraDealers.com.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the Waddle and Sylvie Show presents the countdown of the 20 greatest Chicago Bears players of the last 50 years.
Dick Butkus was pretty scary, huh?
Here he is, galloping Gale, carrying the mail.
The best is yet to come, it really is.
Mike Ditka's NFC champions were as bold on offense as they were on defense in this title game. As McMahon rifled a deep pass from his own end zone.
Quick pitch to Walter, looking for the record, cuts back, he's got it!
Pass is intercepted by that guy, Brian Urlacher.
Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown.
Presented by Great Clips.
At Great Clips, they want you to feel good about getting a great haircut. That's why they created the Great Care Promise. It's their commitment to helping you look great and stay as safe as possible. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
All salons are independently owned and operated. Contact your local salon for specific safety measures.
The countdown continues with the sixth greatest Bears player of the last 50 years.
Go Bears!
That's right. Nearing the top five. You can get refreshed on the entire top 20 list from the last 50 years on the ESPN Chicago Instagram page. Follow us today at ESPN_Chicago. Waddle, what's your Instagram page? Is it TommyBoy87 on Instagram? I hate when I stump you.
Hold on one second.
You can follow me at Mark, M-A-R-C, middle initial, A,
is
Silverman.
Yeah, A's for Aaron.
Right.
I'm not sure.
I believe it's TommyBoy87.
TommyBoy87, yes, sir. I don't Instagram myself.
You don't?
You never got a team? You got a whole team there? Got a whole team of influencers?
He's like the Kardashians.
Look
he's
at
got
you.
A team.
Look no, at you. Kim
I meant
K.
like I'm
Look
not
you,
send,
Chloe.
No, I made that. That was the wrong comment because I was saying I don't send stuff to myself, but never mind. I'm horrible with social
you
media.
You don't post on the gram.
Not much.
All right, so number six.
The Colonel.
The Colonel. Do you know Richard Dent?
I do, yes.
You know Richard Dent, right?
I do know Richard Dent. Yeah.
What did Richard Dent accomplish in a Bears uniform that in the 100 years of Bears players in Bears uniforms, no one else has accomplished?
He led the NFL in sacks in 1985?
No. Well, I mean,
he did.
But that's true. But he's the only while in Bears uniform to ever achieve this honor?
I don't know.
Think about it.
The only Bear in history to achieve this.
In a Bears uniform, because others, there's actually one player on this roster currently who also achieved this honor, but he did not do it in a Bears uniform.
Number of sacks in a game?
Nope. It has nothing to do with defense.
It
is not defense specific.
Super Bowl MVP.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Nick Foles.
He is the only Bear Super Bowl MVP.
That is correct.
Because, you know, obviously they won championships before.
He's a four-time Pro Bowler. He's a four-time first-team All-Pro, which is the most impressive honor you can get. 84, 85, 88, and 90. He was a 1980s All-Decade Team second-team member. He is in Pro Football's Hall of Fame. He has 137.5 career sacks. He's got 8 interceptions, 2 touchdowns. He is as fierce a pass rusher as you'll find.
Yeah, and my favorite Richard Dent story always came from Don Pearson. He went to school at Tennessee State, okay? So he's this small college guy, and he wasn't drafted until the 8th round by the Bears.
203rd pick overall.
And the reason was, is because he couldn't put on weight. And I believe it was the Bears who identified this, because his teeth were bad. His teeth were so bad that it was tough for him to eat. And so he didn't eat enough to put on the weight. The Bears, or somebody, I think Rick Talender or Don Pearson told the story once before, that they fixed his teeth, and bam, the weight stuck. And all of a sudden, this 8th round pick filled out, matured, and became a sack machine. How about that,
Waddle? The rest is history.
The rest is history.
He was dominant. He was a great teammate. He was fun even when he was yelling at you.
Yeah. When you were stinking it up offensively.
Yeah, when we were stinking it up. And he let us know, and rightfully so. Yep. Rightfully so.
And the tradition continues.
You got that right.
Julio, in the Midway area, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Julio?
Gilda, Waddle, and Sylvie. Yeah, man, just calling. Great sense on that Richard Dent, man. One of the best rivalries right there. He really showed it when he played. Waddle, big-time fan.
Thank you.
Bears-Packers, in my opinion, was killed when Urlacher and Rodgers became friends. And as far as Chicago rivalries, the strongest is Sox-Cubs. I come from a long line of Sox fans on the South Side, because the passion and the intensity when they play really brings it out in all of us, man. I mean, unfortunately, I met a woman that I'm currently involved with, and she's unfortunately a Cubs fan. But I'll hang up and listen. Love
you
guys.
Julio, let me counterpoint something with you, okay? Do you know? Are you still there, Julio?
Yeah, he's there.
I'm there.
Do you know that Michael Jordan and Patrick Ewing were good friends, and that Bulls Knicks was that lasted?
Yeah, but here's the thing: when I agree with you on that, but the thing is, when they played, they were playing. It's not like Urlacher trying to sack Rodgers and laughing at it during the game instead of just continuing that passion on the field. I get you could be friends outside of the game, but during the game we're watching. We're passionate about the game. We want to see that intensity, and it was lost with Urlacher when he played against Rodgers.
Feel that Brian Urlacher, a Hall of Famer, wasn't as good as he could have been because he was friendly with Rodgers?
Not at all whatsoever. I think he's a great Hall of Famer, great player. I have his jersey. I used to watch him when you guys have him on the show. But it just the smiling was just like it didn't hit. Like when you saw Michael Jordan on the field, you just mentioned on the court with Ewing, he looked at him and he gave that look. When we were growing up watching him, we would see him and it's like, oh, look, there's the look. He's going to turn it up. He's going to take over. He's going to take over the game. And that was the intensity that I did not see in Urlacher when he played against Rodgers.
Yeah. Thanks, Julio. Appreciate the call. Totally disagree.
Yeah, I mean, respectfully disagree as well.
Yeah.
I don't care if he has a smile on his face. I mean, be better than them.
Yes. Yes.
Like, I don't need a Charles Martin type of cheap shot move. And I'm not suggesting he was going there either. But, like, I just want to win. consistently. I don't need you to snarl at the opponent. Just tackle him.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
behind the line of scrimmage. Take the ball away from them.
Yes. Coming up next, Jason Hayward will join us. He's one of the best people we put on the show. Fantastic interview. And is he worried that this Cubs roster will be a shell of itself when the 2021 baseball season begins? We'll talk to Jay Hay in 2 short minutes.